other things. Back in the fall, I read through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and I was going through that a couple weeks ago, and I was looking at some of the things I wrote down, and I'm going to share those with you. And so that kind of became our lesson series for the next couple weeks. And so it came out of reading the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. And if you want to turn there in your Bible, you can go on and turn to 1 Timothy, because that's where we're going to land today a little bit. Today is kind of an intro to this series. And if I had to say the overarching name of this series, the next several weeks is going to be called Get Over Yourself. Get Over Yourself. I wrote that all over my page as I was putting in my notes. It doesn't necessarily say that in the Bible, but it implies it a whole bunch. It was the book of Timothy was written by Paul to his mentee, which was Timothy. Timothy was a young guy, and he was a guy who was very ready to go out and win the world. And Paul was giving him the what for, because he was showing him that a lot of the groups that he was ministering to were people who were not getting over themselves. they were letting things happen in their lives. They were reading the Word of God, and they were making up their own opinions. They were making up their own thoughts. And so today, I want to talk about that overarching thing of getting over yourself or getting over you. And then underneath that is today we're going to talk about truth versus lies. And we tell ourselves lies a lot, and we believe lies a lot. We believe lies in the sense that we tell ourselves that things are as they're not, and we believe them as truth. We also have a lot of opinions, and we have a lot of thoughts and ideas. We have a lot of beliefs that are based on things that not necessarily are based in truth. They're based on what somebody told us. They're based on our experience. They're based on things that have happened to us and things that we do with other people. And so we claim those things as truth. And so today I want to encourage you to get over yourself when it comes to the idea of truth that you tell yourself and lies that you tell yourself. See, the world wants us to cater to our own desires. This world that we live in says, serve you. You deserve a slice. You deserve your slice. You deserve what you deserve. You work hard. You do the things you do. You deserve those things, which is not true. It is not true at all. And we all need to take Paul's advice and, in essence, get over ourselves. We spend far too much time on us. Most of our time and our thoughts and our processes are spent on us doing what we think that this world is instead of thinking what God wants for us. And so we get caught up in that, and then that the truth is not always the truth. We tell ourselves these little lies, and they become these convenient truths to us that are not based on anything. Proverbs says this, and it's a very, very cool Old Testament verse. In verse 16, verse 25, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. So many of us have built a theology. So many of us have built a worldview based on this, and it leads to death if it is not based on truth that doesn't change ever. Then we have a problem, and it leads to death, the Proverbs say. And so we have to be very, very attentive when it comes to this lesson today and the next several weeks, because you and I have got to get over ourselves, get over you, because what you think doesn't really matter. What? I'm excited about the fact that we can find this way that the Bible talks about. And it's not a one that leads to death. It's the one that leads to life. And that's the part of the job of the church. And the church hasn't done a very good job of telling the truth. The church has sugarcoated it. The church has said it's not that important. And the Bible says it will lead to death. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Truth is always true. Say that with me. Truth is always true. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? You see, when we believe lies, when we foster bad habits as truth, when we develop this wrong mindset, what we do is we act off of that mindset. So Paul is going to stress, and he's going to try to teach Timothy to encourage the early Christians with this one phrase that I wish he would have used just for us, but he doesn't. But it's get over you. Get over yourself. Seek Jesus. Seek his truth. And if you can't find it, continue to look until you find it. True wisdom is appropriate for us still today. We can live in truth. You can see one of Satan's favorite tactics is to twist and deny God's truth. He started it back in the garden, and he does it throughout all of history. He takes a little bit of truth and twists it and turns it. Satan would love nothing more than to cause people, God's people, to not be faithful anymore and to turn away from the truth. And I'm afraid it's happened in the church and outside the church. When we embrace a lot of Jesus' truth, it doesn't matter, listen to me, it doesn't matter if you dilute it just a little bit or if you dilute it 50%. It's still not 100%. Truth is 100% across the board. And it has to be a truth that is not diluted, that is not taken away from, that our truth is put into it. Everybody says, live your what? Live your truth. What the heck does that mean? Because your truth cannot be true. It cannot be everybody's truth. What if my truth is to take all of your things? My truth is to own everything that you have. Well, that doesn't work. This town that Timothy and Paul are in 1 Timothy 6 is a little place called Ephesus. And it's not a little place. It is a boom town for back then. It is a huge, huge place. It was one of the bigger cities in the Roman Empire. And it has a population of about 250,000 people. And they had this theater that almost seated 24,000 people. That's a lot of theater. That's a big coliseum. They had everything for education. They had everything for commerce. They had everything for sports and medicine. And in fact, they were probably one of the most diverse places to go learn about faith and about all the different gods that were out there. And so Timothy is living in the middle of this mess, this metropolis, this thriving city. And he's sitting there in this quagmire of all these different beliefs. And Paul's going to challenge Timothy, and he's going to challenge us today, the early church, one more time, to get over yourself, to hold out the truth, to hold out the whole truth of God. So 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 6 says this. These are the things that you are to teach, Timothy. Insist on. Not just teach, insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk and evil suspicions and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Wow, that's a mouthful. Brother Paul lays it out for Timothy. Here's what you are to teach, my brother. I want you to talk about these truths. I want you to hold out these truths to the Ephesians church, to the church that's sitting there in the middle of this quagmire that is taking and dividing truth and cutting it up into little pieces. So pretty soon, it doesn't even look like truth. It is a quagmire. And so there's three realities I want to share with you today that were going on here that Paul talked to Timothy about. Because if we get these realities, we'll understand. I think it'll help you this morning kind of divide this truth and get over the fact that you have to think what you think. Because you think what you think is the most important thing in the world. And it is not. What you believe is not the most important thing. It has to be centered in something that doesn't change, a truth that doesn't move, a truth that stays to say the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The first reality is this, the number one, is that truth is found in Scripture. It is found in Scripture, and Paul wanted Timothy to know that. Paul tells Timothy at the beginning of chapter 6, if anyone teaches otherwise... He says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the godly teaching, they are conceited and they understand nothing. That's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong statement. When Paul spoke of sound instruction, it literally meant healthy. It meant functioning. It means this in verse 3. He says, and sound instruction is always based on Jesus, and it always produces godliness. Truth produces godliness if it's lived out. If it's not lived out, it produces nothing. It produces confusion. It produces people who take a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. And I think this is right, and I think this is right because my kid is this, and so I have to embrace and I have to love and I understand all those feelings, but I still have to go back to truth. We still have to go back to truth. God's word tells us how to live. God's son showed us how to live. And the example for us, he gave us this example. He gave us the standard. John Quincy Adams in 1820 was the president of the United States. And he set the example for us. He became the standard for us to follow as we wanted to live. Here's what he did. In the 1820s, John Quincy Adams stood before the Congress and he held up two different baskets. One basket he had over here was one bushel, and it was from South Carolina. It was a South Carolina bushel. And one was from New York, and it was a New York bushel. And there was 6 ounces difference between this bushel and this bushel from two different states. And John Quincy Adams said, "Ma'am and sirs, we have to do something. We can't allow this. When you weigh these two and one is 6 ounces bigger, that is not a standard by which the United States can live." And so what he did was he said, we have to push for a standard. We have to push for something that is right all the time. It's a New York. It's not just a New York thing. It's not a North Carolina thing. It's not an Indianapolis thing. It is a United States thing. It is one thing put into get together. And so, John Quincy Adams in the 1820s, I know you don't care about history, but you care about this. In 1820s, he put a thing called the Bureau of Weight and Measurements. And it still stands today, and it's how we measure. There's standard measurements to everything. And so I say to you this morning, church, commerce relies and thrives. Society functions based on an unchangeable, absolute truth of scales, scales that are not different in New York as they are in North Carolina. The same scales. And this bureau makes sure of that. And so it's not just, we think it should be this, or we think it should be this. This is how much it should be. No, there's an actual measurement that's a standard, and we have to hold that out. And so I tell you today, church, this is our measuring rod. This is our measuring rod. There's none like it. I can tell you this. This is absolute truth. And a lot of us, sitting here this morning even, we have some doubts. We have some doubts. Is it all really true? Is it all really standard? Did God mean this or did he mean that? Because this is this and that's that. And I want you to know that God went to great length to preserve this truth, to preserve it so you and I could know what truth was. You and I have got to get over ourselves. What you think doesn't matter. What you feel doesn't matter. What people that you love so much are doing doesn't change this. It does not. Whether you lived 1,000 years ago or whether you live today, it has the answers that can help a parent a child. It has the answers that can help you with a leadership question that you're having. It has the answers that tell you how to get along in the workplace. It can tell you how you can live for all eternity. And it's the only truth, the Bible says, that will set you free. Now here's another reality that you've got to grasp onto today. Truth unites a church. Truth unites a church. What I mean by that? If you look back in your Bible in verse 3, it says this: if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are conceited. That word conceited, it means they are puffed up. Imagine a person being puffed up with themselves. It means they understand nothing. What a phrase. It's an unhealthy interest in controversies. It's somebody who just likes to stir things up. That doesn't mean that there's not some uncomfortable truths in here. There's some things in here that all of us struggle with. I get it. There's some things in here as we look at it, and we open it up in the mirror, and we look at it, it's like, did he really mean that? Did he really mean that? And the truth is, the church has got to unify around Jesus Christ and his truth. Doesn't mean that there's not some things that are going to make you squeam a little bit. But for 22 years, this church has stood on this. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, I think I put it there, did I? I did. The fear of the human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. Let me read it again. The fear of human opinion disables. If you care about what people think more than God, it disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. Trusting in God protects you from that. So what's taking place in Ephesus? They're distorting things through their teachings. They were taking a little bit of what the world was saying, and they were bringing it into the church. And Paul says to Timothy, don't let them. Don't let them. They're distorting the truth. They would quibble over little things. They would forget the central part of the story of Christ. Check this. I found this story, and I find it amusing. I've heard it before, and I remembered it, and I thought, I've got to bring that up today. It's a dumb story, but it's a story I think it'll click with you. Back about 4 decades ago, about 40 years ago, there was a problem in London. Jolly old London. Wish Pauline was here. Buses were driving past passengers who were waiting to be picked up. They were at the bus stops, and they were there at their appointed time and place, and they were there, and they stood, and they waited, and the bus would pull up, and would, instead of stopping, would just sail right by them. And it did this day after day after day. As you begin to understand, the people of jolly old London begin to get very upset. Why is this happening? We're here at the right time. We're here doing exactly what the schedule says. And so the London Transit Authorities got all their drivers together, and said, we've got to say something, and we've got to explain this situation that's going on. Why are we sailing past all these people that are coming to be picked up? And so they thought, well, we gotta say something. We've got to explain our actions. And so they held a big press conference explaining what they were doing at this time. And the press release has become infamous since then, and it's been used in countless marketing and public relation courses in America. And here's what the statement said. It is impossible. This is from the bus company. It is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we're always having to stop and pick up passengers. Let that sink in. I kind of thought that's what the bus company was supposed to do. Pick up passengers. What an explanation. They forgot what the main thing was. Church, it is not about what you want. It is not about what you think. It is not about your comfort. It is not about the style of music, even though I understand you have a different style you like. You cannot forget the purpose of the church is to bring glory to God, not to make you and I feel comfortable. Get over you. Get over you. Satan wins a victory every time unity is damaged because people are focused on the peripheral rather than the primary. Churches are fighting. Churches are splitting. Churches are coming together over the dumbest things possible. They are not arguing about more effective ways to reach the homeless. They're not arguing about how to do things for single moms. They're not talking about, you know, the things that really matter. They're not talking about how do we take care of the widows? How do we take care of the homeless children? How do we take care of kids who are or parents that are doing? No, they split over carpet colors and paint colors, and they pout and they gossip and they rant. And they rant at each other, and they get on social media, and they're rooted in this personal entitlement and pride more than saving souls, more than going and storming the gates of hell. That's what the church's job is about. Storming the gates of hell. When's the last time you heard any preacher say that? What? We're going to storm the gates of hell? How are we going to do that? Yeah. Do we? I don't know. I don't know if we're storming the gates of hell. I think we're like the London bus company a little bit. That kind of gets in the way of me. That gets in the way of my free time. That gets in the way of my resources and my what? You want me to do what? See, I thought that was the purpose of the church, was to storm the gates of hell. But somewhere along the line, that got dropped off the edge of the earth because it's too harsh. Don't count me in no storming no gates. I ain't doing that. I don't want to storm no gates. If there's a gate, somebody better open it up and so I can walk through it, you know? Where did we miss the boat on this, church? Where do we miss the boat? People have asked me over the years. I've been here 22 years, and I've gotten asked 4, 5, 6, 7 times, Jeff, why didn't you go to some other church? I could have. So a couple times I got a couple offers to do that, to go to another church. You know why I didn't? Because this church is different. This church has always been different. It's been different because 99.9% of the people here have always said, we know what the purpose of the church is, and we're going to move towards it. We're going to reach souls. We're going to help those that can't help themselves. We have a leadership that has always, always, always been more about not personal comfort, not personal gain, but about what's best for the kingdom. That's why I stayed here. I have so many friends that go to so many different churches, and they have so much trouble because the people all have an agenda. And they all have an agenda, and it's not storming the gates of hell so much. It's not helping those that are helpless. It's about, you know, taking care of, you know, me. It's pretty rough. You have to understand that this right here, this assembly, it's about Jesus. It's not about the band standing up here. It's not about this preacher standing up here. It's not about who's teaching the life group. It's not about who leads at the hub or who doesn't lead at the hub. It's not about any of those things. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Maturity is about denying yourself the right to complain. Maturity is about denying yourself the right to complain. Even though you might have a complaint, what good does it do for unity of the church? What good? Lastly, truth glorifies God. Man, I went too long. Sorry. Truth glorifies God. Let me read this passage one more time, and you're going to say, oh, Jeff, you've read it to us three times. Verse 4 says this: they have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in every strife and malicious talk and evil suspicion and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to some kind of financial gains. What Paul's talking about here, he talks about in chapter 5, just right before this. And the problem is some of the people in the church are mad that the preachers are taking a wage for coming in and preaching to the people. And Paul's not saying, I'm not against that, but what I am against is people getting rich off the church. I'm against that. He's against that. He didn't realize that a lot of the philosophers back then were coming in and saying, let me write a book, let me do this, let me get rich off of the philosophies that are going on here. Godliness never, hardly ever, leads to prosperity. And I think we have to remember that Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. And none of us probably should either. But God takes care of us in spite of those things. And so Paul addresses this due to some false teaching that was taking place, that some people were choosing to be preachers for the wrong reason. They were getting involved in the church. They were turning their mega campuses into this and that and that. And Paul says, no, that's not what it's about. And he points out that it's very important. It's important to understand you've got to get over yourself. Please realize this. We are blessed here at Impact Christian Church. We are blessed with great facilities. In 3.5 years, we're going to be paid off. We'll have no debt. We are blessed with a staff. We are blessed with volunteers. We're not blessed with a janitor, by the way, but if you want to be a janitor, give Shelly. No, Shelly's like, please. No, I'm just kidding. She's out of here no matter what, May 1st. It shouldn't matter. Who is doing what here? It doesn't matter who does what because it's about bringing glory to God. Ephesians 3:20 says this. I think I've got that up there maybe. Did I? Yep. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever and ever. You see, God continues to do great work through us, through this church, through loving people like you, sharing Christ with others, sharing your time, your talents, your treasures. But it doesn't matter who's leading. It doesn't matter. In 3.5 years, I'm handing the reins of this church over to somebody else. I hope it's younger. I hope it's some young guy. It shouldn't matter who's up here. It shouldn't. What matters is that the Church of Jesus Christ goes forward and does what God has called it to do. To close, I want to use a sports analogy. I know I've gone long. I'm sorry. I got riled up a little bit. I want to use a sports analogy. If you're a sports fan and you watch either football, baseball, or basketball, in either case, you'll see that there's somebody there wearing, if you'll put that up there, somebody's wearing a jersey. Somebody's wearing a jersey on some level or another. And on the front, generally speaking, there's the team name, and on the back is your name. And I want to say to you, as kindly as I can say about the church is a team. It is a team. It works and it functions most beautifully when it comes together and does what God calls it to do. But it is not whose name is on the back. It is whose name, Jesus, whose name is on the front. That's what matters. That's the significant part of that. What a wise coach will always, always say to his team, it doesn't matter whose name's on the back. It always matters about whose name is on the front. You can't worry about personal gain or personal stats. You can't worry about who's winning or losing or advancing or falling back. There is a greater cause. I love that about this body. That's why I'm here. And that's what it is with this church. This church holds that out time after time. And see, when we come together and we realize that the only name that matters, the only one is not who the preacher is. It's not about who's leading a Bible study and you like them or you don't. It's not about who's up here leading worship. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. See, it's true. Truth is found in Scripture, and truth unifies the church, and truth seeks to lift up God and only God, not people. And I want to invite you today to get on the team. Last week on Easter, we had Ethan came, and he gave his life to Jesus, and he was baptized. The same invitation is today. The baptistry is up here. It's on. It's going to be on the next several weeks. We want you to be a part of the team. If you're already going to some other church or something and you're like, oh, I'd like to be a part of it, come talk to us and come be a part of this team. It's a pretty darn good team. We worry about what's on the front, not so much what's on the back. Let's pray as the band comes. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your word in Timothy. I thank you that you ask us to get over ourselves time and time again. It doesn't matter what we think or feel. What matters is your truth. Truth versus lies. God, help us to look at some of our beliefs and to make sure that they're based in truth. They're not based on what our parents said. They're not based on what's our experience. They're not based on somebody's hurting us. They're based on what your truth says about who we are and about you, what you want us to do. And so, God, today we come to repent. We come to ask you to do a work in us through this time that we spend together here in this place this morning. Just work on our hearts through your Holy Spirit. We give you permission to walk among us these next minutes as the band leads us. We love you and we praise your name. Amen.